Podcast, episode 32 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. How are you doing? I'm doing good. Thanks for asking.
Nobody asked. Nobody asked how you were doing, Paul. I'll ask you in a minute. So today's episode's called Winter Roller 2017.
Yes. That's an interesting title. Why did you choose that title?
I didn't choose that title. Oh, the title for the episode?
Yeah, why did
I didn't choose Winter Roller.
No.
That was your ego.
But why did you choose this is the title for the episode?
That's got to be a title. What else? We're doing a Winter Roller experiment scenario.
Yes, all right, okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, I could have called it, I don't know, This Week in Guild Ball. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Has to be called something.
It's a name. Let's go on with
Guild Ball Drama. Guild Ball Drama. Right, so what have you been up to, Paul, in this... It's been 1 week to the day.
Yes, it has. Yeah. So, a couple of things I've been
What's
doing.
What's the date?
The date is
you always
the,
say the date.
15th of... What is it? September?
September.
So it's Thursday, so this will go up tomorrow, Friday, when you're listening, etc. Or actually, you put up the last one late Thursday night. You didn't put
sneaky,
it up on the Friday.
Sneaky.
Yeah.
So before you didn't go to bed. Sneaky.
Fair enough.
It's hot as a mofo at the moment in Britain. We're having like some kind of...
Renaissance summer? I don't know, but it's not even summer anymore. It's autumn.
We had the hottest day in the history of September.
Yeah, 100-year record broken for September yesterday. No, 2 days ago.
And it wasn't even a one-off. It's been hot as a mofo.
Yeah, I mean...
Every day.
I missed the hottest day because I was in work, research, in an air-conditioned hospital the whole day. But, it's just too warm, isn't it? It's just too warm.
It'd be nice if you were sat at a beach drinking.
Yeah, but just like, around your house with no aircon. It's too warm.
Yeah, with builders in and dust everywhere.
Yeah, not good.
Lovely.
Not good.
Lovely. Right, Paul, tell us a story, man. What you been up to?
Okay, so since we recorded last, I've had a couple of gaming sessions. The first thing I did since the last episode is I played Tom Sims at Guild Ball. He came round on the Friday because I didn't have anything to do, and we played a couple of games at Guild Ball. And I used the Mason team I've got up there.
You've got quite a big team.
Yeah. I mean, because you might as well, it's not if you're going to do a team, you might as well have the mall.
Right? Yeah, but have they now released like mercenary models?
Yes.
Play for
so
everybody?
Actually, there's I mean, adding a captain and a mascot, and I could do a what are they called Union team as well.
Okay.
Because they're the mercs. But like,
that's an interesting way to sell lots of a particular model is make them work for everybody.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because then you get eight times the sale.
The Union are the team that can work for other people.
Right, yeah. And themselves. Like
and
Mercs.
Themselves. Yeah. Yeah, so they're very... Anyway, so I played Tom. Good games.
Were they?
Yeah.
Game was good, eh?
Well, the first game, I mean, like, Tom's been playing Guild Ball, I think he plays it exclusively now, and he plays in events and stuff, and, along with Dan. So the first game, like, I was like, just treat it like, I'm interested in playing this in a tournament if I get the opportunity, so just treat this all the particulars you do in a tournament game, so that's the only way to learn. And he did teach me one or two little minor like rules I didn't know actually. So it's like, okay, little things like having the extra influence for scoring a goal passive every time.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, it's because I've learned the game by playing other people, and Tom's been playing it like actually competitively. So all the rules are correct. Anyway, the first game. I could tell he was being nice to me. I was Masons, he was Butchers. And that was a good game. That went back and forth, and I won it 8, 12, 10. So that was cool. And then the second game...
You won it?
I won it.
Hmm. He did do a good job then.
But the second game, he changed his team up a little and annihilated me 12-0 in half an hour. I was like...
So game one, did you receive the ball?
Yes.
And game two, he received the ball?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
That seems to be not an issue, but it seems to be like a... If you're Butchers and you receive the ball, that's a good thing.
His team build, he had a Union player that can drag you in, attack you and drags you to you. She doesn't work for
like Siren or something?
I can't remember her name.
I'm just making this up.
Yeah.
If there's no one
she's got
Siren.
Grappling hooks, and she throws one into your player and pulls you into it.
Wow.
Anyway, what it meant was, because Tom had the ball, and that... mechanic. He was a good build. I mean, it was fair. He did me fair and square. Like, he could pull a player of mine in and annihilate them, like, with another butcher player. And I just struggled, really. My team, it was probably over in the first 10 minutes because I had just lost players.
Right.
So I'd need to be a better player to go up against that and work
or
it out.
Or not try and fight it. You can't beat orcs at fighting.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got to beat them with the ball.
Yeah. Exactly. How do I manage that? Is it like, I was using Honor, so maybe I double activate Flint, and he goes last, so he gets a chance to like run at the player with the ball. I'm not sure. I mean, like it, anyway, Tom like annihilates me. Yeah, yeah, and this is going to happen because there's a Guild Ball event on Saturday that they're attending that has got tickets. I could technically go to, but I'm working the night shift, so I might have to leave the event early to come back to make sure I'm in for work.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I don't know, I've got to toss up that mind whether should I do that or not, or it depends what Hannah's up to as well, I suppose. So,
mm-hmm. How long's the game? One and a half
you
hours.
Have 45 minutes each on a death clock.
Okay.
So a game can be, well, I mean, that, well, you know, if the second game didn't take very long, but that's okay. What you have in an event.
Excellent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good.
So I played that and it was cool. So like, yeah, like I say, I'll try and attend some Guild Ball events if I can fit them in. I also played Tabletop Nation. I played a War Machine event. Kev Bryant's one he was running.
Oh, okay. He's back with Wayland, is he?
Yeah, he got 12 players into it, 12 including the spare player. There would have been more, I think, because at the same time in 40K, Andrew was running a War Machine event, which probably some of the players would have played and the vice versa. Standard two list, you know, Death Clock, etc. The way you like to play War Machine. And it was cool. I took a Nemo 3 list, all electrical, and continuing my thing of playing all the Signar classes, and I also took Maddox 1. I got into the event, I'd played the Nemo list twice, I'd never played Maddox, and sadly, the Nemo list, I came up against. I played two circle players.
Yeah.
And
good news.
Yeah. This Kruger 2 was. Oh my god. He was always good in Mark 2. Always a good choice. But now he's like unbelievably hard work.
Because isn't he like. You got minus your range, shooting range.
Yeah. Yep.
And his feet pushes you about.
Yeah.
And he's good at assassination himself.
Yeah. And he's. But the thing that kills it is that he's immune to electricity. And he's got immune to electricity buff for anything within his command range. Because it used to be no command checks.
Yeah.
That's gone. It's been replaced with immune to electricity.
So that's everything.
Everything.
That's so horrific.
So when your Signar and a lot of your good stuff is attacks electrical, that shuts that off completely. Like, him being immune to electricity was bad enough, because he would take away the assassination like.
And there
threat.
Were a few other bits that were, but yeah. not a giant amount.
But when he can just... like have everything important immune as well. Basically, it was like proper like list chicken. So I had this Nemo list that would do absolutely nothing to it, like because all attacks electrical. It would literally be a non-game because I can't and none of the attacks do anything.
Scenario, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to beat the best guy in scenario, right? And then so I was like, okay, so I have to use Maddox, and like unless he thinks he's so confident that I won't drop it, and then I have to use Maddox 1. And that was, that was its first game. Like, so I kind of, to be honest, I kind of feel like I need to play Maddox again because one game isn't enough.
And what did he do? What did he play?
He used Kruger 2, yeah. And it was quite an easy win for him. I mean, I did the best I could. Like, I found a way to get around the wrong eye. He basically had exactly the same list, change of casters and one beast, and that was it. Because character restrictions aren't a thing at the moment.
No, they're not.
So he literally had the same, almost the same list.
So the second one was what Wormwood does, right? Is he not playing Wormwood?
Wormwood, yeah. Yeah, of course. Like, nailed.
Try and shoot through that.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, it's like, it was good. I mean, basically, the first round I got a circle player, I played against Balder. That was a great game, really good. I lost that one, I used Nemo, but it was really, yeah, it was a good game. But, you know, level pegging. The second one was this, like, against Kruger. And actually, the game, I thought, oh, this game's going to be done in, like, 30 minutes. I can get on with painting the Avengers. You know, like, and actually, it went a bit longer. He failed to do one thing to score early, which was lucky for me. So I actually had me in the game for a bit. But he's, I mean, even, like, he's just so easy. Like, as in, like, he is just... That is, and the zone, it was two zones, the out, so that's even perfect for him as well.
Yeah.
So even against the best, even against a really bad player, you would struggle there. And the third.
You could have brought E. Haley?
Yeah, could have done it, but I mean, I want to use them all. Like, you know. And then the third game was against a Scorn player, and Scorn are really struggling, it seems like, at the moment. Because that was quite an easy win for me, actually. Like, he used Naresh, and I used Nemo, and he had him... He put him next to a Heavy, And I was like, so he's next to a Death 10 thing. And I was just like, I just killed him with Electro Leaps. Yeah. I was just like, I mean, like, and that was like, all I have to do is roll 10s to hit. And then I'm getting, I've got with Nemo's feet just endlessly boosting, like, yeah, like automatically feet boosted Electro Leaps.
Well, you can have another boost, can't you?
You can't boost Electro Leaps, but that's additional dice.
Okay, additional dice, right.
But I, yeah, so it's quite simple to run Firefly next to him, so they're all power 12. Yeah, and just, yeah. So I did that.
There's more.
Well, so I kind of think that these like mini War Machine events, really, in a sense, are my chance just to play some War Machine games, because getting games of War Machine now is really quite difficult. You know, like, so
these, it certainly has been in recent weeks.
So these games, so these like events, are just a chance to play some games, regardless of results. Are just a chance to play. But then I played Eric at Marvel, which is kind of like my big story of the week, is I really liked this Marvel game, Marvel Miniatures game by Knight Models. It was just so much fun. It was really fun. Yeah, so I played Eric, the guy I play most regularly at games. And so he'd taken the X-Men. I took my team of 7 strong Avengers, and it was a laugh. Like, it was like, even like, it's nice. There's 3 scenarios, and you do need to play the scenarios because there's a reason what you're doing. And one of the scenarios is a battle, a fight, but one team's got a disadvantage of position. So there is. So you do need. There's, and that, just the models are lovely. The rules are lovely. Magneto picked up Iron Man and rammed him into a building because he's made of metal, and it's like, damn, that was really good. But they've had to, like, obviously make it a game that the really best attacks are like one use only, because Magneto would just keep doing it, you know, like, until he would,
yeah, like Wolverine,
yeah, it's like, oh, like, apart, yeah, it's just like, I just got you because you're metal, like, and I'm the master of metal.
Yeah.
So really good fun, and I was good because I hit my painting targets for this thing. I got the War Machine stuff finished for Sunday, and that Sunday I was painting the Avengers, and I took a brand, first proper game.
I've heard much talk of the rats.
They're there.
Rats.
Look, you can see them.
The clan rats?
Yeah.
All sailing along.
Yeah.
How many more units you got? 50?
Something like that. But they will get done. But we can talk about that later, because I've spoken to Jim about his event, and like, I know what the score is.
Good. So you can surprise me with the score later on. I don't know.
Yeah, well, let's hop off of press news. So we'll have that in other events. I'd say, guys, listeners, if you want a really nice game and you have scenery, you have to play with scenery. So we're using over Infinity Table, and that's perfect. Like those cardboard buildings up there.
Mototronica, I think they're called.
Yeah, they're perfect for it. It's really good.
Right.
You know, like,
maybe I'll give it a go. I'll put on my list of things to try.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Is that it? Busy week. Good stuff. Right, so I played Magic on Monday. We had 14 players for our standard, which is our biggest ever standard.
Brilliant.
It's all right, because we're kind of a new player club, so to build a standard deck is a bit of a commitment, because it's something that doesn't last that long and can cost quite a bit of money. I played with some janky black-white allies deck, and I went 2-1, losing to the guy who's going to the Pro Tour, so that's fair dinkum, I don't mind that. What else did I play? Played War Machine against Eric, and there's some learns there. The stones don't have built-in stealth now.
No.
Which is good.
Yep. They got prowl, haven't they?
They got prowl. So I should have taken away a stone when it was out, because in my head I couldn't target it, because you have to get too close.
Yeah. Mark 2 knowledge.
I was using... what's his name? The guy, the gammy leg and the metal arm.
Oh, Mike Magnus?
Magnus 2.
You were using Magnus 2?
Epic Magnus, yeah.
Wow, cool. You play him in that tier list? Kingmaker.
Not tier list. No, just all jacks.
Oh, wow, okay.
Magnus 2, all jacks, and Dirty Meg.
Did it work?
Yeah, it was good.
What were the jacks?
Oh, everything I had. Like two Manglers, 2 Renegades, and no Mud, 3 Boots.
Borrow some jacks off me for that.
I'll just wang them all in there. A couple of Buccaneers, Vanguard, whatever.
Yeah.
Talon.
All right, okay. Interesting list.
So, but his feet, in my mind, I'd kind of... Because the feet's really good.
Yeah, I don't know to Killbox. That's what his feet's called.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know if it was... I never played him in Mark 2. So I don't know... It's the same as it was in Mark 1. Eric seemed to think it was different to Mark 2.
No, it's the same. I think it's the same.
Well, I think you and Eric were playing it wrong then. Because I think Eric thought it was 2 opposite table sides.
No, it's any two sides.
So basically you form a...
A corner of a square.
And they can't move into that.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic, meant that he had no retaliation for my
Eric knows
Alpha
that.
Strike.
I mean, I've played that list against him.
But unfortunately, I forgot about the teleporting stones.
Yes, so that's a way to get around it.
And obviously he was playing Chromac.
Yeah.
I think it might be Epic Chromac.
Yeah.
Anyway, he hits like a ton of bricks, and I've got Magnus with like a wooden leg and a metal arm, so...
Oh, so he ported Chromac into Magnus?
Or Getrix or something.
Yeah,
me,
yeah.
Something, yeah. Something Mac 10 PNS 21 or something.
You don't live from that, yeah.
I did live from that. But I was good. That was good. And the big learn was that the stones don't have stealth anymore.
Yeah.
So everybody can kill a stone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's... that's one of the... I mean... You can. It's too easy to focus on the positives of how a faction's changed. In that's better, that's better. But there are some negatives, yeah. And there is that, like for example, that is that druids aren't as good a unit as they used to be. Unless you want to kill them with electrical attacks and they become immune to electricity, then they are good.
Because it used to be with Legion, I never worried about them because they ignored stealth and kill the stone. But with Sigma, I found the stones a real pain in the arse because there wasn't that much you could shoot that was doing enough damage to kill the stones.
Yeah, armor 18. Yeah.
Like the gun mage just try and ping it out.
What you want is the guys with the rifles now. Yeah,
just vaporise them.
Just three wounds, just three wounds.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, done.
Next. Bing. So what else we got? Oh, played Warmaster last night by Rid. Mm. So Rid's got a Chaos Army, Rid the Painter, and I played with a smaller Lisbon Army.
So it's a 1500 point game.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's quite nice. He had a phenomenally small break. I think he had a break of 5.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted all the meat. It's a very Rid list. It was all like... A bit like what you played with today, to be honest.
Well, we'll go over my list, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A bit like... lots of meat. Lots of Chaos Knights, lots of Chaos Warriors. Mm-hmm. Kind of what you'd want. One unit of Harpies, which did about what units of Harpies do, which is nothing.
Scout.
Scout.
Well, the game started, they've done their job.
Scout. Maybe hoover up some characters and then die. Poor things. So he played a good game. I kind of gave him some inkling into the rules and let him win. 7-5.
Yeah, fair enough.
7-4. It's good. Mm-hmm. And I finally played Harvey at Guild Ball.
The club's pundit.
Yeah, well, congratulations, Harvey.
Well done, Harvey.
And he's also helping me out a little bit with my Kickstarter. So multiple thanks, Harvey. I played Fisherman. He played Summon. Don't even know. Summon out. Alchemists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he could have got
a lot. They have range attacks.
They had lots of... that was an interesting... They don't scatter.
Meh.
So it's just, here's my 3 HOE. It's in range. Yep. Plop.
Yeah.
There we go.
Roll to hit.
Mm. Yeah, and then you roll to hit the stuff that's in the area. That's an interesting thing. So I won 8-0 in this demo game. Obviously, Harvey was kind of playing with both hands behind his back and a blindfold on. to give me a game. So that was good. Thanks, Harvey. And the game seemed interesting. But obviously, I asked him... What happens if a team just plays, they get the kick off and stick the ball up the jumper and go and hide in a corner with the ball and then say, come through my team to get the ball?
Mm, yeah.
Because I can imagine Fisherman as quick and as agile and kind of creative with the ball.
Yeah.
What do they do without the ball? And how do they get that frigging ball?
Yeah. So what did he say to that?
He said there are ways.
There are ways.
The ways. The ways of the force.
The ways of learning, I suppose. No, the ways you get... Yeah, but, I mean...
Because in my mind, I move into the opponent's half and then get bashed to pieces. So maybe you need some big lump that can absorb a lot of punishment and you put him... I was looking through some cards, because do you know there's an app available?
There must be, I'm sure.
No, there is. A Guild Ball app, like War Room.
But it's all on the website.
But free?
Yeah.
Like, so the cards, damage tracker, everything.
Nice. Huh. Yeah, I mean, again, this is the kind of thing I might pick up by playing people are like in an event. Like, I got, I'll give a shout out for this for Guild Ball. I got a Bendy Boards like tracker off playing Tom. I was like, how's he tracking his stuff? And I was like, I like that. Tracks momentum. It's better than dice because you might pick up those dice. Oh, like, and it tracks the score and goals you've scored and stuff. It's like £8 from this website. I looked through the rest of it and I was like, nothing else of interest apart from the movement track, apart from the score tracker. So I'll take that.
I'll tell you what, I know that Wargame is generally an OCD and people like widgets and bits and bobs and stuff, but I have never seen so much stuff for such a new game. It's 18 months old. People were carrying stuff in suitcases that had so much stuff. There were tools for everything.
Yeah.
It was superb. So I'm going to give it another go. I'll have another go next Wednesday. Hopefully... I will encourage somebody to stick their ball up their jumper and hide and make me come and get it off them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me. It's been a busy week for me, and I've also worked...
Yeah, it is a busy week.
Yeah. And I've also been working on my Kickstarter part-time while cleaning up after the builders and making tea and coffee.
Yep.
So hopefully that's going to come out at the end of the month. And I won't talk too much about it here, but I will warn you in advance. So, so good stuff. Right, the week in wargaming. Well, that was kind of what...
I think that's the same point we just isn't it?
Yeah, well, good. So we'll do Age of Sigmar Watch. Yeah.
Well, you'll have to speak about this, Barry, because
So the club. I like to talk about what was in at the club, because that kind of gives you a vibe of what
was
happening.
Yeah, I wasn't at the club last night because I was watching Top Gun live in a live cinema viewing of...
Jesus!
Like, out in Highlands Park in Chelmsford. It was about a couple of hundred people there. It was really good fun, actually.
Yeah,
everyone was singing along to the songs.
Of course
songs.
They were.
Yeah, they were.
Of course they were.
Yeah, it was great. I want Top Gun music for this track. Yeah, this episode.
Did you wear your aviator sunglasses?
Yeah, I got them especially. You know what? I went into... Because we're going with... there's four of us going, and I went into Claire's Accessories. That's where Hannah said, you can buy some aviators from. And I saw, and I was like, and I found, and like, and they had
genuine
like, they had these glasses for like £4, and I was like, okay, got one pair for me and Hannah. Put them on the counter, and the girl said, you can buy five of them for £5.
Five pairs.
Five pairs, and I said, I don't want five pairs. I want two pairs. Well, and she was like, but it's cheaper to buy five.
It's £8 for two, or £5 for five.
Yeah. So I was like, all right. So I went back and, like, found another three pairs. And was like, what a weird promotion. Like,
and do I just throw them in the bin on the way out?
I don't know.
Go set them outside for quid a pair?
Something. But, like, yeah, so I
gave... So you've now got five pairs of sunglasses?
Of aviators, yeah. Well, you could have chosen another one, but it was just such a weird, like... What
promotion.
Is this shop like? It's like...
It's a bizarre shop.
Yeah, it's like, it's new things, but they're selling it like it's tap. Yeah,
but it must be, it's because it's not summer anymore, I guess. So they're trying to get rid of stock.
But I really enjoyed it. So we had, because it was like a bit upmarket kind of outdoor cinema. So like we had like a gourmet burger from it wasn't like a takeaway burger. It was like a gourmet takeaway burger.
Well, like reindeer burger or...
Which is nice.
Just like, nice burger.
No. Yeah, you could buy Pimm's and lemonade, like, you know, off the bar and stuff. And, you know, I was sitting in my moon chair, my very comfortable chair.
Yeah.
And it was
I'd like to go, but maybe not for Top Gun. Maybe.
Well, yeah, they do other movies.
Yeah,
they got Dirty Dancing tonight.
Oh, Jesus. I couldn't think of a film worse than what I think you've just done it. I pity any man that's going along to Dirty Dance. Any man who's on a first date or he's in desperate need of something.
So you lost that loving feeling, haven't you, Barry?
I couldn't do that. Dirty Dance. Luckily, my wife wouldn't have any of that anyway, watching that. God. So anyway, Top Gun, Tony Scott, yeah? Director.
Yeah.
It's a good film. So I was going to berate him for doing Top Gun, but then I thought, yeah, no, he's dead.
It's weird. And it's like everyone watching the movie, obviously had seen it before... People are, like, sitting there, like, quoting the movie, like, as it's going along.
Including you
including
on
me.
Facebook.
Yeah. And it's, like, it's strange. It's, like, it's kind of a weird experience it was. It was just, like, well, like, but it was fun. It, like, it wasn't, it was good. I'd do it again, definitely. And it helped, you know what, it helped that the weather was so nice. So
that
it wasn't
does help,
cold.
Generally.
It wasn't cold at night.
You're not sat in the pissing down rain.
Well, yeah, I mean, because that's the thing. It's like
it's
happened.
September.
Like it only if it was dangerous would it stop. So you can't put up umbrellas because it blocks other people's view. So if it was raining, you just have to sit there in the rain, and then you're like sitting there. I'm sitting outside, getting wet, rained on, to watch a movie. I know. It's like, what is this? What are you doing? But I don't know. It kind of worked.
So anyway, while Paul was there watching Tony Scott films, I was at the bunker. And the bunker watch, we had six Guild Ball players.
Good. Things.
Plus me, so that's seven, I guess.
Yeah.
Two War Machine, War Master, sorry. That's me and Ridvar.
Yep.
We had two War Machine. Rodders was playing
Eric.
We had Age of Sigmar silliness. We had Pocock.
Two tables of that?
Marg, the monster Pocock against Shape, Bad Guts.
What was Shape using Tomb Kings?
Tomb Kings on Ranked and Violence on the big movement trays. So he had like 30 skeleton warriors on a movement tray.
Well, I suppose you would, wouldn't you?
6 foot five, and just push them.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Well, because they can't attack, can they? You've got to get them off those bases. So you can pile them all up. It looked interesting enough. We had Flames of War, modern.
Yeah, so this is the current latest one, which is Team Yankee.
Team Yankee.
Yeah.
where I went over and asked what scale it was in, because it looked absolutely bonkers. The tanks are just gigantic.
Yep. But maybe...
I don't know what size a tank is in real life compared to a 15mm
They're smaller than planes, like, than you, in reality. Like,
well, the planes were never to scale, were
But then
they?
maybe because you're used to seeing Flames of War, World War II tanks, and they, like, Shermans were quite small, really.
Yeah, even the big kind of Tigers and stuff. Like, yeah. You could fit four of them in the base of this thing.
Yeah, well, Abrams and, like...
Well, they have, like, 10-man crew or something in them.
No, they're just, I mean, like, tank. I mean, I from, you know, being around military kit and stuff, being military, I mean, like, tanks... aren't as big as you might imagine, but it's planes that are
these bigger. Tanks were big.
Yeah.
These were bigger than I could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. I've been around every... there was a Blood Bowl match. Whatever. right in the corner, there might have been a 40k type shit.
So
very varied, yeah. But not War Machine. Bad days.
No, you said there was a War Machine.
One War Machine, but still bad days.
Well, it's a dead system now.
It's not a dead system. It's coming back. You're playing it, I still play it.
Yeah.
People still play it. Mm-hmm. Ages of Empires, only one, because from the 12 or whatever it was last week, it was one table
so
this week.
Was there...
Well, in fact, and Aaron was playing as well, so maybe it was two tables, maybe.
So was there anybody who didn't have table space? Like was there was that an issue?
I think it was all right, it was close.
Close, yeah, so, okay, cool.
But we'll see the next time we have an Age Sigma, how the first, table space
they're
works.
They're being done on the first meeting of a month.
Okay, so that will be the next pinch point. Right, Aegis, what have we got? KR sponsorship, Mr. KR.
Thank you very much, KR.
Thank you. If you like figures, travelled in comfort.
By KR.
Yeah. By KR, yeah. Why wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Today's match, Paul, what did we do today?
So, to the meet. So we were playing a scenario which we're looking... The reason we're told Winter Rollers 2017 is that we want to get another scenario into that pack. So it at least starts with... In 2017, there's at least three scenarios.
And have you produced the second scenario yet for release?
I've intended to.
But you're too busy painting Avengers.
True, but also...
I'm watching Top Gun.
Also, this week is a busy one for me at work.
Okay.
Sadly. Next week, I go... and it seems to be my pattern of shifts. I get a busy week and then a very quiet week. This is the busy week. Next week's a quiet week.
Okay.
So I will have the time to pen... a beta, let's call it, of Winter Roller 17, which will have the outlines of the scenarios, which I will add into it as I go along.
Okay, good. Because anyway.
Because I want to make it a nice looking document, which would take time.
It will.
So this one.
Gym scenario.
We haven't really got a name for it, have we? Yeah. Capture and control?
I don't know.
Yeah. Take and hold? Yeah. Anyway, so this.
Incursion?
Okay, so this scenario was basically objectives, and it had five objectives in it. Shall I explain how the scenario
works? Absolutely.
So each player gets two objectives, which they can place on the table. They have to be 30 centimetres away from each other, and they have to be out of your deployment zone. Then one objective is placed dead centre. So that's
dead
placed
center.
First. That is in exactly 2 foot, so 3 foot in, 2 foot up. That's where the objective
is. No terrain anywhere near.
Has to be out of terrain. There can't be a terrain piece within 10 centimetres of it.
Nice clear area.
Yeah, a clear area. For some reason, that's important. Yeah, like, and then you play, then each player plays, you roll off for scouts, so you choose the table sides. Then before you place any models on the table, you're placing objectives, starting with the guy that had scouts. It shouldn't really matter much, really, because, you know, the miles apart. Oh, well, there's nothing seriously to stop player A placing them all the way, but you wouldn't do this. You know, like, you would want them close to your, where you can defend. You wouldn't place it.
In terrain, where you can defend.
So, well, I mean, if that's your list you've got. So, scenarios go down. Then scouts go down of the winner, then the rest of the army, then the second player places their army. Game begins as normal, except you're getting a scenario point, control point, starting from the second player's second turn. If you control either the central objective or one of the enemy's placed objectives, you don't score anything for your own objectives.
Nope.
But equally, you want to defend them because that's how the opponent will score off you.
So potentially you could score 3 points in a turn.
Maximum you could score is three in one turn. The objectives themselves aren't physical things. We used standard 25mm bases for them, circular bases. But obviously the hobbyist would model up something quite nice. But they don't physically block anything. They are just a point in the ground.
I think from a game point of view, a base is better than anything else. Because you need to be able to put stuff on top.
Yeah,
so if you model something, you're going to have to move it off anyway.
Yeah, I think that I would do it just... bases are fine. base is coloured, like, yeah, because you can then, exactly, right, put a stand on top of it. So, then there's, because you know, because there's no question then who's got it. There's no contesting this objective. You either are on the base, or you're not on the base. You know, like, yeah, there's only one way you can
do it. Yeah, so does the base need to be small enough? Like 20 mil?
They're 20 mil bases, aren't they?
So 20 mil's a reasonable, because your base will cover a 20 mil.
Are they 20 or are they 25 ones, though? The circular bases. Standard GW small ones, basically.
I think that's probably, I don't know.
Hang on, it says so there. They are 25 mil.
So a smallish base, smallish round base.
Yeah.
Or like a coin or something.
Yeah, a penny would do.
Yeah.
And you're going to. So the way you can win is by breaking the enemy, killing the general, running out of time, or winning by objective. You get 5 points to win, and you can score on the opponent's turn.
I think that was important.
Yes.
The game would go on way too long.
This is our first time attempting it, and actually, it went through quite well. Actually, I think overall.
Yeah.
So I used a Chaos Army. Barry used his tournament Lizardman army.
Yeah.
So we know what Barry's Lizardman army is.
It's good.
We've said it before. I'll just read out my Chaos army. I took 4 Chaos Warriors, 5 Chaos Marauders, 3 Chaos Marauder Horsemen, 2 Knights, 2 Hounds, 1 Harpies, a General, a Hero, and a Sorcerer. The Hero had a Sword of Might. 17 units, breakpoint 9, 2,000 points. My scouting value was 7 from the Harpies and 2 units of Hounds. These are models I actually own, that's why I chose the list, and it's pretty much the Chaos Army I own. I've got some Dragon Ogres up there, but like that's a different build. Yeah. I wouldn't mind some Chariots in there, but Chaos Chariots are hard to find. are physically hard to find. So I was quite happy with it. I wanted to... Basically, the idea of the list was I wanted a brigade of Chaos Warriors.
And in column.
In column.
On the objective.
You know, being controlled by the general. I wanted to see what... 150-point unit each of 600-point brigade can do. Yeah, and I wanted to see that, and they could do a lot. That was my Chaos Army, and so once the objectives had gone down, I'd chosen the table side, I'd won the scouts, and I placed my 2 objectives in 2 woods which were off my deployment area, but on my side of the table.
Yep.
Barry went for 2 hills.
That's all I had. I had no wood.
Yeah.
So it also meant I had to change my brigades up because I couldn't have a brigade of skinks because there's nowhere to hide them.
Yeah, exactly. Tale of the game is I got a lot of command tests done early.
2 turns.
Yeah, 2 turns didn't.
2
fail.
Turns. You didn't fail a single command test.
I didn't
you
overstretch
stopped.
It.
No,
but,
you didn't.
Yeah, but yeah. I yeah, like it was
you
good.
You chose to stop.
Yeah, I chose to stop. So I got marauders to hold 2 units each. To hold my 2 objectives.
Which were in woods.
It's in woods, which like, is fairly defensive. I don't want to use Chaos Warriors for that.
It's pretty hard to shift, because going into a wood, 5 ups, you've got 3 static,
The thing with Chaos Warriors, Chaos in Army, is that the difference between Marauders and Warriors is a lot. Like, Warriors 150, Marauders 60. Like, Warriors are too expensive to be on defensive detail, as in my own side of the table. Marauders have to do that. Yeah, so and in the centre I put my Chaos Warrior Brigade, backed up by my Chaos Knights, and with some Hounds who were just there for to increase the army, and I had a brigade of 3 Chaos Marauders on a flank, which I thought, because Barry's objectives were placed on hills, it was open for my cavalry.
Yeah,
not easy, but if I could get my intention was for the Marauder Horsemen to flank the edge of one of your objectives and try and take it. That was my intention.
That was the best plan.
Yeah, and while I used my Chaos Warriors to take the centre
which
objective.
Which on turn 2, and I happily sat there for 4 turns.
Well, because you came at me. I would have held it, but I'd have looked to attack you as well. I mean, I wasn't just going to sit there and do nothing. Yeah, I was going to come forward as well, but I'm making sure I've got that. Anyway,
So you set your 4 in column on the objective.
Yeah.
And I think I managed to get a little cheeky, sneaky charge in the flank and ding you up a little bit and then run away with a unit of Saurus. And then you put your Chaos Knights to protect your Chaos Warriors. You put 6 in the front.
Yeah, because what I decided to do, because I'm being faced off, Barry's got 4 Cold One Knight Cavs in there. And I was like, that is going to really hurt. And that's going to be a big grind fight. But what I wanted to do is I tried to attack him. So I because I'm a Chaos player.
Yes, yeah, what?
So I sent the Chaos Knights into charge range, into 30 away, and tried to roll the 7 I needed to get them into fight. Failed it, you know, and that was that. Because I would rather have sent my guys off to attack Barry's and make him fight away from my objective than where, you know, they were moved forward to try and engage, but they failed that second command roll.
Sadly. Right.
But they would have gone forward. That was what I tried to do. Anyway, so Barry chucks passes his roll, and his cold ones come and attack my knights.
So there's two on two.
Made a lot of command.
Yeah, that was good. So you had two knights. I had two cold ones in the front. Yep. Two units, and then I had a unit of cold ones in the flank, and I also had a unit of Saurus in the other flank.
Yeah, yeah. So you got a lot. Mm.
So those Chaos Knights evaporated in one turn.
Yeah, sadly, they fell over. But and they didn't do nearly as much as I wanted them to do.
Because I think the roll was 6, so you had to move back 6, but that would have destroyed them all into the
Yeah,
front
yeah,
of
I
Warriors.
Lost the combat massively for that one.
By
I mean,
12? You lost by 12?
Yeah, I lost by 12, and I was like, my Chaos Knights, they did averagely kind of armour, I remember, but they just didn't really hit.
Just too many attacks coming
in. Yeah, yeah, it was like they were overwhelmed. Anyway, they went down cheaply. And Barry assaulted my brigade of 4 warriors.
Which didn't go so well for
them. My warriors eventually won that one second round, that fight. And
smashed up two units of cold ones.
This was by accident more than design. I set up beyond the objective. So like it was on like the middle stand. That was good because when I backed off, I was still holding the thing, the objective.
That
and that's how you should play it. Like, you don't want the front of your hard infantry brigade on the objective. You want the middle stand, or maybe even the third stand, sitting on the objective. So when you are grinded back, you're still on the thing.
So I think at that point you were 3-0 up?
I went 3-0 up off the back of that. Yeah.
And then it was your turn?
Yeah. Yeah,
but I think I did manage to confuse some stuff. So
you managed to get a 6 result for two units confused.
Which so was the count charge wasn't as big as you wanted.
No, and that was like that kind of blunted it because I did intend to counter charge, but that stopped me. So I won the fight and I put two infantry units in the sides. They initiative charged some cold one knights. Trying to do some more damage, and then
but then
I can't chase, so then they're reforming back to hold the objective.
Yeah.
So basically, the situation was the game was really close. Is that I was on 4 objective points, points. I need 5 to win. It's Barry's turn. If he doesn't force me off, I've won at the end of the turn.
But you've mashed everything, so you've maybe got a brigade of 6, but they're not all one brigade, but 6 units lined up, all in column, all accepting a charge.
It was 5 because five units. Yeah, some were damaged, but like that, I played hard for the scenario. Then I didn't originally intend. I had to see how the game would go out, but I didn't intend to. I didn't like purposely go, I'm going to play for this scenario. It's just the way it fell.
Yeah.
Because my Marauder cavalry had blundered a turn before, and they ran away. You happened to your pterodons, but that kind of spoilt my flanking manoeuvre to fight for another one of Barry's objectives because my cavalry had refused to do what I wanted them to do.
Fight.
So Barry comes in to try. He has to get me off. It gets again a lot of command tests.
I do get a lot of command tests. And I use a spell to put some stuff in.
It all works really nicely for Barry, and he does indeed. So what happened was my general got touched, and instead of me backing him off somewhere completely away, I decided to throw him into a full unit.
That never works.
Well, no, that's the thing. I mean, like, because in hindsight, yes, that was the wrong thing to do, because I could have countered. I could have, even if I lost them all, I wasn't going to be broken by that way. But I figured that in Chaos Warriors, every ration to actually. I mean, I thought he was fairly safe. Anyway, what happened was Barry's luck came through, and eventually that fight ended with them all being wiped out, including my general. So I lost because my general was dead.
There was a point in that turn where I think we'd done like something like maybe 14 damage each.
I won by one support.
That's how close it. And that was a battle where he had 5 units, and I had like, oh my god, there was a lot of units.
Yeah. If I had won that round, then I'd won the game.
Yes. Because I had to gamble, leave an objective open, which would cost me the game.
Yeah.
I put everything in. Every the general was in. He's never been in a fight before. It's like
a toad.
He was in there. The toad. Everything was in there.
So
kitchen sink was in there.
Yeah.
Toilet seat.
And one of the rounds, Barry only won by one.
One support.
Anyway, so that fight had happened. If I'd have put the general away into some marauders on the left who were holding a wood, the game would have gone another turn. I'd have had another turn. And Barry had left one of his objectives completely open. And actually, I was in there on one order. And I just rolled the dice. On the eight I got was required, and I could send a unit of horsemen in to take one of Barry's objectives, and that would have ended the game 5-1 to me on objective, or command points.
5-1.
Because Barry had won, because he now held the centre. So it worked really well. I was one off from being broken.
That's right.
As well.
So and you
Barry
lost
was,
eight.
Yeah, so Barry was... Barry, I dinged up units, but Barry's nowhere near breaking.
I lost a unit. Still undamaged.
But he had units on one stand.
Yeah, they were dinged up all over the place.
So that's how the game ended. And we're looking at it going, okay, so regardless of the result, how did the scenario play? We're going to play it again next week with a change of, we're going to scatter the objectives you place, not the center one.
No, that needs to be
where it is. But we're going to scatter on 2d6 centimeters added together with an artillery dice, so they might roll a hit.
So you can be a hit.
Yeah, 2 in 6, or 1 in 3, 1 in 3 chance.
1 in 6.
That's two results are a hit.
Is it? I thought it was one.
Is it? I don't know. Anyway,
because one's a misfire, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Whoops. So, with a result that it might land where you want it to go. But we'll try scattering off the two ones you place.
I mean, the likelihood is it's going to go at worst 7 centimetres.
Yeah. I mean, so what it will mean is you'll need to place it. Say you want to place it in a wood. You're going to place it in the centre of the wood to try and keep it within the wood.
Even if it scatters a bit.
Even if it scatters a bit. But it could result in some interesting results if a bad scatter ends up putting that objective outside, because it might scatter off not where you want it to go.
So if you've got like limited command like Lisbon have, the distance you have to travel and the amount of stuff you have to take over to be able to force you out of that wood where your objective was, you know, you got your beastmen and they're supported. It was just like, it was too much. It was too much to ask.
Yeah.
I had to commit too much of my army to even go after the objective. So it was, for me, it was only ever about the middle because I couldn't do the others.
Yeah.
It'd be different if you were a different army.
A different army could do. I mean, I I lost the game there, but I was one order from winning it, you know, like the next turn, which we, you know, like.
Yeah, I only won it because I managed to get the general.
Yeah, yeah.
That happened a couple of times.
Mm. Yeah, so we think.
Too gung ho with your general, sir.
Yeah, I suppose, but it's more chaosy to do that. But, it seems that the scenario worked well.
Certainly leads to different builds.
But that's the idea of it.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to try and hold objectives with chaff.
Oh, God, no.
Not the middle one.
Like I was saying to Barry, okay, so. Like, what would Empire do in this situation?
Cannons.
They don't have Chaos Warrior infantry. They have Halberdier infantry. A brigade of Halberdiers is not going to stand up to, like, anything near... Like,
600 points of Chaos Warriors.
Yeah. Like, in the middle. So it's like... So Empire would have to play it like... So their cannons would cover the central objective. So if you come and hold this, I'll make it hurt. Like, I'll shoot you.
I'll just make you shoot someone else.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, that's the trade-off, isn't it? They're going to have to... Like, it forces a fight. Like, what we've got so far now is we've got a battle line, a regular game, which is a regular game.
Yeah.
We've got a scenario called Meeting Engagement, which mixes up the deployment a lot, and you want scouts, and you're going to want some good...
Fast-moving
elements of your army to relink up and attack early. This scenario's one, let's call it capture and hold, encourages heavy infantry. You're going to want some good infantry to defend your own stuff and also go take the other person's. Because if their objectives are in scenery, are in woods, where only infantry can do that anyway, and the centre one, like a brigade of hard infantry, will take charges much better than cavalry, like sitting there on it. Because they can support.
I'll tell you what would be interesting in this scenario, in my brain.
Yeah.
Imagine a mega Skaven brigade.
Yeah.
Like 10 deep. 10 deep.
Jumping it up.
10 wide and just putting it over the objective. I say, kill through that in time.
Well, exactly.
I've got my clock running.
Yeah.
So it's like, you've got to get above the objective, mate.
But I think that, as I said before, a brigade of Chaos Warriors would do that.
Well, they just kill the clan rats. They wouldn't worry about the objective.
Well, yeah,
kill 17 clan rats.
They do so much damage so fast for little return that they, yeah, they'd be massacring Skaven like easily. I think that no matter how many Skaven are put down, like if you've got four units of Chaos Warriors, you're gonna come out on top. Like eventually, you know, because your Chaos Warriors will just chop through it.
Yeah.
You know, because that's why they're 150 points each.
Yeah.
They can do that.
On the flip side, Chaos Warriors don't scout.
No.
So
we've got now, like, we're going to play to finalize this scenario. We need another game where we scatter the scenarios, we scatter the objective.
Yeah, and that's next week.
And if it works as well as it did today, that'll finalize this scenario, and we'll have three then for Winter Roller 17, our tournament pack. The idea is that then events that we run will use this tournament pack.
Okay.
That's why. And going forward from now until then, when we play a regular game, it will be using our tournament pack, which will roll up scenarios and see which. So we coming to the game, we won't know which scenario we're going to play, so it'll encourage different builds.
Yeah.
Like,
or, a tournament list.
Yeah.
Tournament which list. Should do anyway.
Well, that's the whole point. That's why we're doing this. Yeah. So overall, yeah, pretty successful.
Yeah, I think it definitely encourages scouts, which is a plus.
Which is a plus.
It definitely limits horde armies. Cause,
which is a plus.
If you get like random deployment and all your horde of crap is on the one corner, just go kill that.
There you go.
You keep your good stuff. Let's go kill some clan rats.
Yeah. And that's what we want.
Or your general's caught trapped in an area all by himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting things it throws up.
Yeah, and that's exactly where we're going with this. So, encouraging times.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
Right, so what have you got to talk about from Jim?
Oh, right, okay. So I spoke to Jim Beach about...
Jim the Sage.
Because the next event, Warmaster event, and in fact, my next event in the calendar is, for anything, is that I can definitely attend, is the Warmaster one in Triwizard in November.
Yeah.
So, the Allies...
On a Saturday. It is Saturday, second or something, hopefully.
On. Let me just pull it up.
This is important.
If you've asked, let me just pull it up on my calendar.
Everything
runs slow.
I won't bother cutting this out. You can just hear my dulcet tones.
It is November the 12th.
Saturday. Excellent. Okay.
Good. So,
what's he said?
Okay, so the Allies. Basically, I discussed the Allies back and forth. And this... So this event is going to be... Originally, they said they would do one regular, one different. Well, that seems to have gone out the window a bit. And they do it. And this one has got Allies in it.
Yeah.
He's going to finalise the Allies rules. He listened to my points, etc. But
and my cheese.
Yes, exactly. And he said, "Well, he said that in that case that guy was a magic user, was that or something?"
It's not like, magic.
Anyway,
basically, I was trying to get a nip on shrine into this because nip on a neutral shrines are just an upgrade to a unit.
Yeah,
it's like a massive. Yeah. What do they got? Runesmith shenanigans.
But anyway, so. He'll finalise the Allies rule, but essentially it will be a Warmaster event where you can use Allies, but you don't have to. So what that's good for me is because, like, in the I know Skaven in like are evil and thus can have other evil and neutral allies. I don't think Skaven would ever work with anybody. So I'm going to take. I'm not even going to touch the Allies rule. I'm going to just take because I've planned out this Skaven army. And I'm going to take Skaven.
All right, so one more point. If I've got 1,500 points of, say, Dwarves...
Yeah.
...and 500 points of Empire, how does that work for restrictions?
I think that they're limited to 1,000-point restrictions.
For both of them.
No, the smaller side is. Or maybe the second side.
I think it'd be 1,000-point restrictions.
Wait until Jim...
Because like, what that would do, Mr. Cheesy Beard, is I would automatically... Sorry?
Three units of cannons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Because what's worse than two units of cannons? Three units of cannons.
Ah, dice math.
Because there's nothing surviving three units of cannons shooting them.
Not even nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing in this game.
But let Jim put out the stipulations...
So if I would do, Jim, if you're listening, I would have the 1,500 point army, for example,
1,000 points
moves down on the allowances, and the 500 point army moves up.
Yeah, okay.
So they've got effectively 1,000.
And I would have them as in complete little army. I would do it as they have to be complete little army. So the smaller army has to have a character, at least.
Just a hero or something.
Well, okay, you could say maybe it doesn't need a general, but they have to have a character. Because they can't just have the troops. Because one army, it can order the other one at a negative, but they must have a character as well.
Well, that's his
personally
call.
That's how I do it.
That's his
call. But that's his call. But so anyway, but it doesn't matter because it's going to be an optional thing.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Well, unless I can get some cheesy filth that I haven't told Janice about.
But I'm not going to do it just because I just want to use Skaven. Yeah, like for an event.
He's pretty good at when he gets a big brigade of artillery. Remember that game of Warhammer World you played?
Oh, yeah.
Where you had this hill and he had like God knows how many cannon.
Oh, the way
on
he set
hill.
It up was just so was different, like, wasn't it?
There was no way he could even use flyers to get into this thing.
Yeah, it's clever.
Like, shit. If he came head on, oh my God, there was nothing living.
It was clever. Nothing living. It was clever. Mm-hmm.
Especially as the. We used to play, like me and Paul, back ages ago. We used to have to shoot the dead remains. Yeah. So it was nearest. There was like some bits of arms and legs that you had to carry.
That rule wrong.
No, we were literally just blowing unit after unit off the board.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
That's what's going to happen. So
what are you going to play, Skaven?
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
The list obviously you want to use painted stuff. I've set out a plan to get these Skaven done. They will be done. That's what I'm going to use. The Skaven list I'm going to use for the Triwiz isn't the Skaven list I would use for like our Winter Roller events because it needs to be more balanced. I would do that second unit of Rat Ogres up there.
Yeah,
and drop some of the Clan Rats down. I would probably do a second Doom Wheel as well.
Doom Wheels are good.
Like, so I would cut down some of the numbers to put more solid units into it. Because I think, and also, actually, I need more gutter runners as well.
What about artillery? You might have to lose them.
I don't know.
They don't do a lot.
No, they probably go. But so,
in fact, I don't think I've ever seen them shoot upon themselves.
But they're cool.
Cool.
But I would change the list around if I was playing in a tournament pack. But that's exactly why you want to. That's all I have to say about that.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice. Are we done? Is Alice done today?
I think so, yeah.
A relatively quick one.
Yeah, just to say, I mean, so we know what we're going to do next time. We're going to play...
Snarl again with some scattering.
Capturing Control with some scattering, and that will finalise it in our head, I think, and then that will get added to the beta. One thing else to mention. Jim did mention another scenario we could try, which is one which sounds interesting. Again, is one we're only going to try by playing, is that the game is being played in a snowstorm, a sandstorm, fog. Take your pick. Anyway, what it does is at the start of each player's turn, you'll roll, or maybe both your turns, so like you say, you're rolling a dice to see how far visibility is. It's D6 times 10.
That's for both players' turns.
That's what you'd have to decide. Okay. It's like, so visibility is random. So it might be 60, but it could be less, it could be 10. There's 10, 20, 30,
and 40, apart from that, it's pitch battle.
Yeah. So that could be quite interesting. With varies of
so if it's a 1, you don't even get to initiative charge over 10.
You can't see. like fog down. That'd be quite interesting one to try. Yeah, and call it fog of war or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Because aside from flyers, 60 is the maximum anything can shoot. In the game,
yeah.
And it might be 60. So you might have a turn where an Empire army that doesn't have flyers. Well, they might roll a 6 and be like, no difference to them.
Yeah.
Because everything is open. But then equally, it might be 10.
It would tone down flyers for that game, because you're not going anywhere, are you, really?
Well, it would be really different,
it's
wouldn't
10.
It?
Yeah.
I can't see anything. But yeah, it sounds quite random. But it's like, I mean, it might be interesting to try. You can only know these things by
playing. We'll kick that into touch. We'll play it the week after next.
But yeah, that's to say, like the idea is that you have more scenarios in a tournament pack that are going to be used in that day, and you're rolling to see what you get for each round as long as it's different. So, because Steamroller, War Machine has 8 scenarios. True, actually, one of them will never get played. Linebreaker will never be in a tournament, sadly. I think it's been ruled like by every community that they're not playing this scenario.
It's like the Wizard Tower one.
It's the one where you can only score points on their half of the table. It's built for gun lines.
Yeah.
And it is not a very well designed scenario, okay. I'll admit. Even me, who wants to have a gun line scenario
with
a gun line in Signar, is like, this scenario is not very good. And like, it, honestly, like, it's not in any event.
Like the Wizard Tower.
Yeah, like the Wizard Tower in Warhammer.
Where it's like, I've got 10,000
couldn't play that in Warhammer. You could, without house ruling it, you couldn't play that scenario. Because the rules for buildings were so open to abuse that it's like, you can't play it. Like, no, it's, just, yeah,
you couldn't.
It's a nothing game.
I think it was something about you could only fight a certain number of models.
Ten.
So if you've got, like, 1,000 rats in this building, you can kill, like, take, like, 100 turns to kill them.
Yeah, and they, as long as you passed your command tests, your break tests. So if you... Basically, undead were the best at it. If you put in 100 zombies in a building, the undead are unbreakable, they physically can't lose that many undead. Like,
because you'll lose 10.
Yeah, because that's I mean, like, there is only going to be... They'd only be in combat on turn one, maybe. Like, there won't be that many combats. They can't physically lose that many models.
So they just win. Turn one, in here, that's a good game, effectively.
Pretty much.
You're just fighting for victory points.
Yeah. I mean, it was, because house rules fixed it. They said how many units could be in a building, that kind of stuff. But even so, like that was the only way that scenario was playable, was by house rules. So, and this one in the current War Machine Steamroller pack, it's not going to see any table. You're not going to be in a tournament.
Right.
In fact, it's not even worth... Sadly, because it won't be in an event, if you rolled it up as casual gaming, you should re-roll the scenario, really, because this scenario will not be what you play in an event.
Yeah. Don't waste your time with it.
Yeah. So that's the idea, is that... So if I'm saying, yeah, there's no cap. There's like... If there was a dozen scenarios that would work, let's have a dozen scenarios. It's like, let's just, like...
Keep going.
Keep adding to them, because that's the fun of it, and they can always be removed or adapted a bit, but that is the point of a tournament pack, is like, don't deny anything. I mean, if something's broke, I won't fix it. Like,
you will fix it.
I'm just saying, it's like saying, if something's not broke, I won't fix it.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like,
better.
That's what I mean. But it's like, so it might be that the 17 pack... Like, the 18 pack is almost no different from the 17
pack. Yeah, that's how it
should be. But there you go. Yeah,
good stuff. Right, then, then we're done. Right, so that was the Warmaster Podcast episode 32. Oh, contact details first.
Yep.
So Facebook page or warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Warmaster Podcast episode 32, The Winter Roller.
2017.
With Paul and Barry.
Thanks very much for listening.
Good night.